Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Oh, welcome on in. It is the final out. Jack Fritz hanging out with you here on this Wednesday night as we react to a pretty disheartening game, pretty disheartening series, and a pretty disheartening start to the second half for the Phillies. As always, the final out is sponsored by the Philadelphia Parking Authority, offering valet park at the Philadelphia Airport. Yes, Phils lose tonight. It was a much anticipated series, one that I think a lot of people were curious as to how far behind the Phillies were head-to-head, comparably to this Dodgers team. And I tell you what, certainly don't feel any better after watching the last couple of nights. The game wrap-up is sponsored by Roto-Rooter. When plumbing problems hit, wrap them up quick and call Roto-Rooter. Their team tackles clogs and leaks so you can stay in the game. Roto-Rooter, your MVP for plumbing solutions. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. It was a big crowd down there. Again, a beautiful night for baseball, one that you're hoping would lead to a Phillies win, but nevertheless was not the case. So if you are on your way home and stuck in traffic, would love to hear from you. Or if you watch this one on your couch like I did, or you listen to it in the eighth inning because your 1.5-year-old son got back up and I had to drive him around, I would love to hear from you as well. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the biggest takeaways of the game, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And, you know, some of this is macro, some of this is micro on my biggest takeaways of the game. I mean, we get it. Some of the Nola thing, not great. Bullpen, not great. Offense, not great. My biggest takeaway from this game and this series: three or four weeks, they have not played good baseball. Now, partially that is because the bullpen is in a pretty dire spot and they're not keeping the team within reach. The fifth starter thing is an issue. I get it. They don't really have a right field option. But I hope that this is a series where they look themselves in the mirror and they say, this is unacceptable. Because the baseball they're playing when Don Mattingly took over in that first month, 2 months, that was a different brand of baseball than that we have seen from this group. They were doing the little things much better. And what I've seen more recently is them slipping back into the nonsense. Just nonsense after nonsense after nonsense. And it's on Don to get them back in action, tighten up that ship a little bit down there. You're going to have these organizational meetings every 3 weeks. We're going to do this whole play better baseball thing. That was the whole mantra when he took over. Well, it's time. It's time. So this was a series that was won and lost by little things. The base running last night was atrocious. Obviously, we talked about it all day here on the station and whatever Phillies outlet you were listening to. We dissected that play over and over and over again. It's not just that. Well, if you want to talk about bad base running, again tonight, I don't know what Stott was doing. I think he assumed that Max Muncy didn't see him, and he thought he could just get third base. Stott, Realmuto, two of their best base runners. They just are. They've been their best base runners for the last couple of years. Brain farts. Nonsense. That's nonsense. So you have that. You have the defense that is just never crisp. Don't even expect it to be crisp. Don't waste your time. Situational baseball. I mean, it's been horrendous for a long time now. But in every single aspect of this series, it really felt like the Phillies got outclassed. Like, Sanchez and Wheeler did their jobs. Losing that game last night with Wheeler was annoying. But from the manager to the little things to the lineup. I mean, they held Ohtani in check this entire series again and lost. They had leads in every single game this series. Obviously, they won game one. They had leads in games two and three, and they lost. They find ways to lose games against the Dodgers. And the biggest fear I have in leaving this series is those little things become major problems in October, and they're starting to creep back in on this team. And it's on Donnie, and it's on those guys to have some tough conversations tonight, tomorrow on the off day, and come back and make sure you're locked in for that Yankees series and locked in for the Marlins series after that, because they're in a tough little part of the schedule and they're in a good spot with the playoffs, and they dug themselves at 9-19, and that's great. But you don't get just a free ride to the postseason because you dug yourselves out of 9-19. And that is my fear off this series. Are they going to win the World Series? Probably not. Are they going to beat the Dodgers in a postseason series? Probably not. Are we counting down the seconds until the trade deadline because they need another starter, they need two bullpen pieces, and they need a bat? Yeah. Are they going to be able to fill that all in one trade deadline? I have no idea, but I think that they're going to try. Like, it's that little non-crisp BS. There's too many veteran players on this team. If it was a young team that was doing this, you could excuse it away. There are just the amount of veterans on that Dodgers team as there is this Phillies team. And the difference in baseball that these two teams play, you can talk about the Dodgers. Like, this is what annoys me about, I know this is like just the mad ramblings of a madman, and I'm sorry. But this is what bothers me when people talk about the Dodgers and how they just buy championships and they're ruining the sport because all they do is just buy. You're not paying attention. They develop their players. They draft well. They play crisp baseball. They go out and they get these star players and they buy into the Dodger way or whatever that is. They obviously spend a lot of money. We know that. But what makes the Dodgers great is not just spending a lot of money. The Mets spend a lot of money. The Phillies spend a lot of money. It is the style of baseball they play, the way that they get the most out of the talent that they bring in. I mean, Max Muncy was not a huge signing. Tommy Edman was a throw-in in a trade. It wasn't like their big acquisition was Tommy Edman. The guy who saved their bacon last year in Game 7 was Miguel Rojas. So, Dodgers star players, blah, 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 ruining the sport, everyone's salary cap. It's the margins and it's the style of play. That is what the Dodgers are, that separates them from everyone else. So, it separates them from everyone else. So, I hope that this is an inflection point for this team. It's time to look yourselves in the mirror, realize that you're starting to slip back into old Phillies nonsense, and figure it out. Donnie has to have a big part of that because I thought he did a great job the first month and a half, 2 months of nipping this stuff in the bud. And they're starting to slip. I promise you they're starting to slip. And you don't want to see the Phillies do that stuff. And then my second biggest takeaway, and it's like a double-edged sword, I guess, in a way. And you're almost damned if you do and damned if you don't. But the Don Mattingly bullpen decisions just seem to backfire all the time. Or knowing when to take a starter out versus when to leave a guy in. Now, he's down Alvarado and he's down Bolin because that would be three straight outings for them. But you are just begging for that game to get blown open by having Nola go out there in the sixth after getting hit around a little bit in the fifth and getting bailed out on an Andy Bajas double play. You are playing with fire. You are playing with fire, sending him out against Freddie Freeman and Max Muncy in their third time seeing Aaron Nola. And Don talked about after the game, well, you know, he had got Max and he'd gotten Freeman, so I felt good. Hogwash. Hogwash. They are absolutely professional hitters who, by that point in the game, after seeing him twice already, I would 100% bet that they have a different feel than they had the first time through. You knew how that was going to go. I understand he was at 70-some pitches, and that's where I give Donnie Baseball a little bit of a leash, is Nola was at 70-some pitches. They don't have another lefty in the bullpen besides Mazo, who they probably wanted to have up for Ohtani and not Freeman and Muncy, but still. And I hope that when they get some bullpen reinforcements and you know, around the trade deadline, that we can stop this with the Nola thing. Five innings. And if he's like really cruising and it's a pocket in the lineup and you're in a good spot with your with where your offense is, that's when you extend him. But to send him up there against Freeman and Muncy to lead off an inning is malpractice. The other thing, they have to send Seth Johnson down so he just can't use him anymore. Seth Johnson, and I know he was not the reason they lost tonight. These wraparound innings with Seth Johnson are going to make me blow a gasket. I mean, all the wraparound innings, you know, Mesa, wraparound inning. Seth Johnson is not a major league caliber pitcher. He has a 99-mile-an-hour fastball with no idea where it's going. He is a definition of a quad A guy. And every time you sit down to watch a game and they're losing by one or two, it turns into the Seth Johnson show. Every single time. Every time. Every time. And the lead usually expands. He's not the reason they lost tonight. But he did allow a base runner in his second wrapper in the wraparound inning. Because, of course, he did. And then there's Kirkering. And Kirkering is truly a conundrum. Now, I think what we continue to learn, and we're learning more and more, is he's not a leverage guy. And every single time they try to put him in a leverage spot, it backfires. Tonight wasn't even a leverage spot. He just didn't have it. But, like, he probably is deathly afraid of the Dodgers after what happened last year. But what is disheartening, which I feel like I've used a million times tonight, and what sucks about the current status of the bullpen is it's just Bolin and it's just Duran, because Kirkering is not a leverage guy, and once a week he's going to have an outing to where you're left there speechless. How does that happen? I mean, in that inning, they walked three guys in the eighth. Three. Come on. Just not the mental fortitude for Orion Kirkering is not there. It's not there. He does not have that. There is a difference between, like, the Orion Kirkering has all the talent in the world to be a great reliever, but he does not have it between the ears. And you see that more and more every single time he's out there. 215-592-9494. Besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Coach is in Reading. What's up, Coach?
How you doing, guys? You just really said it all, but excuse me. One thing I have to ask is, why is Mesa even on the roster after he gave up eight runs in a third of an inning about 3 weeks ago? And you just brought up a kid from Reading. Just let these guys play. Let the young guys play, because those guys are throwing in there, maybe not Kirkering, but Mesa for sure. And you mentioned the other guy. They are not any good. Put these other guys in that are throwing in the high 90s, and let's see what happens. And then the problem goes back to Dombrowski, because they have – is he the guy making the draft picks the last 5 years?
No, he's not.
He's the general manager. He's not in charge of the draft?
No. Brian Barber. Okay. Brian Barber's the head of the draft. He's the scouting director.
Okay.
Dombrowski has.
Well, you know my point. They lose Garcia and they have nobody to bring up from AAA, AA, A, and say play right field. This is your Lou Gehrig moment. They have nobody. They're guessing. And anyway, last week I was down for the smoke game on Thursday night.
Oh, nice.
And to my good fortune, Aaron Nola pitches that night, and they kept him in one inning too late also, because he pitched five solid, I think. And you couldn't even see the Philly skyline that night, by the way. It's really
sure.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all I wanted to contribute. Meza, just send him down and put the Redding kid you just brought up tonight. Tonight was a perfect situation. Anyway, thanks for all you're doing, and thanks to the guy who answered the phone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Coach. So the Meza thing's tough. I listen, he had a blow-up outing a couple of weeks ago. Meza, to me, is a fine third lefty out of the bullpen. And the reason why you need him is because Banks is on the IL. Backus has been horrible. Alvarado, like you need other lefties on the roster or on the bullpen. You don't really have a choice. I mean, he's just a guy, but he's fine as your third lefty in the bullpen. And we'll get to Alex McFarland in actually coming up next. So 215-592-9494 is how you get in. On the other side, I will get to the player of the game and some other thoughts from this one. All here on the Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And the first pitch to Muncy swung on and hit in the air, left center field. It's deep, and it is not coming back. A two-run home run for Max Muncy. And the Dodgers jump right back out in the lead. Now it's 5-3.
Yeah, getting a little sick and tired of Max Muncy. I'll say that. He's still doing it. I believe that home run tonight put him like second all-time in Dodgers home runs, which is crazy. He's at 229 career home runs with the Dodgers. He's got to run down Eric Karros at 270. So Max Muncy, a guy, again, they discovered essentially off the scrap heap, has turned into that guy for a long time. And he's had a resurgent really last year, halfway through the year, that's when he started wearing the goggles. And that's kind of been the thing that is or rec specs or whatever. There's no way they call him rec specs anymore. This is like 2026 Major League Baseball. He started getting prescription sunglasses, I guess. And he's been like a monster ever since. And that was your vintage. The crazy part about Nola is he can be down, 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 down. He'll go up out of the zone. The second he misses, it's blasted 450 feet. You know it has to drive him crazy because other pitchers can get away with mistakes. When he makes a single mistake, it is almost always deposited into the outfield seats. So, yeah, Max Muncy, that pitch was up. He didn't miss. I mean, it looked like a changeup, and he absolutely torched it. And tell you what, he is starting to bother me. He, the way he runs, he looks like a nerd, and he hits tanks. I don't like it. And he also has turned into a defensive wizard over there. Made some really solid defensive plays this series because, of course, every single player the Dodgers bring in feels like they get the most talent they possibly can out of them, unless your name's Kyle Tucker or the current version of Mookie Betts. The Kyle Tucker thing is crazy. With the luxury tax implications to that signing, they're paying him, with the luxury tax factored in, $119 or $113 million to be on their roster this year. Kyle Tucker. And he was he's almost a platoon guy right now. He's been horrible. Horrible. So the Dodgers did do something wrong. The player of the game is brought to you by South Jersey Gas. Make the smart play. Save energy and money with South Jersey Gas at sjgsaveenergy.com. Let's talk to my guy, Richie, in Philly. What's happening, Richie? Been a while, pal.
Jack. Yeah, it's been a while. Well, I've been not feeling well, but whenever I talk to you, I feel up. You know, Jack, I kind of agree with you a couple of things. I've noticed the thing about Kirkering a couple of years ago, the mental part that you speak about, you know? It can't be coincidence. He can get two outs, Jack, and have two men on, and he gets 0-2. he just can't get out of that inning. You know, there's always a big hit. You notice that with two outs and a 1-2 count? It just seems more than the usual pitcher,
yeah.
Okay?
Well, and I feel like when he gets in a 3-2 count, he always walks the guy, too. You know, little thing he's missing.
I'm big on these little things that you would understand. You 3-2 on him, right? And he throws two like strikes. The guy fouls it off. He's not going to walk. He's not going to throw three strikes in a row. Foul ball. That's it. The other thing I worry about, Jack, and nobody mentioned, I want your feedback on this, okay, Jack? You know, Real Bruno is really beat up, and he gets around. Who's going to be our backup catcher? Because we can't have this, what you call it, hitting like 138 or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Marshawn?
Marshawn. What do you think about getting somebody like cheap? Is it possible? Is that not even a consideration? A backup?
Yeah. It's just they seem very afraid of placing Marshawn on waivers because what he brings defensively, but. You every time you see his stats on the screen, it's you keep looking at the OPS of like what 315, thinking it's his OBP.
It's incredible, yeah.
It's crazy.
We don't have the luxury of that, Jack. We don't have the luxury, you know. So before I let you go, one last thing, I'll let you go. I would like a starter, another starter. I think you'll agree with me there. A bullpen piece, right? No. I'm not that worried about the bats. I really am not because our pitching is so good, and like I said, it's just that these are our bullpen guys. And I like what do you call it? What's his name? Big John. You know,
Big John Bolin. Yeah,
I'm
a Big John Bolin.
Can I ask you a question before I let you go? Yeah. I wanted to ask this to another guy. You would understand. You're my baseball guy. You're my baseball guru. Do you remember that a couple of games ago? He was in his seventh inning. We were up like 6-3 or something, and he got out of the inning like 7 pitches. Right.
Who are you talking about?
And then Bolin. He beat a 1-2-3 inning, but like 7-8 pitches. And why don't they come back? I mean, when I was growing up, maybe pitching was different. They don't come back with that guy, you know, in the eighth inning. We have to worry about, like, a Kirkery or something before we get to Duran. Do you notice that at all? I mean, is that a new thing now? Like, in the last 10 years or something, the pitchers, they go one inning no matter how, even if they would throw 8 pitches or something? Have you ever noticed that?
I know you're talking about, Richie, and I appreciate the phone call always in the sport. Yeah, so growing up, definitely, or back in the day, relievers would go multiple innings. And it happens in the postseason sometimes, but I guess the way that I would explain it, or the way that I think teams think, is they're thinking about the series. They're thinking about I want to have this guy tonight and tomorrow, so I'll give him one inning. And back in the day, there was a bigger propensity for these starting pitchers to throw complete games. It's not the reality anymore. Like, no one throws complete games. So if you're a manager, you can go to a bullpen guy for a couple innings, knowing that the next day the guy's probably going to give you a complete game. Bullpens weren't nearly as important as they are in today's game. And mentioning Kirkering, it feels like he's ditched that splitter. You know, the splitter was something that I was hoping he was going to be able to hone in on this season, but it feels like he's definitely gone away from it. And maybe lost confidence in it. But yeah, just a really, really brutal Kirkering outing tonight. Alex McFarland did make his debut. I don't want to read too much into it. It was a non-pressure situation. Now, he did face some of the best in the Dodgers lineup in Ohtani and Freeman. And you know, the first thing that jumps out is obviously the fastball has some giddy up to it. He threw it over 100 a couple times. My fear with it is that it's not a super competitive pitch too often. Like, his command has gotten better throughout this year down in Reading, but he's going to have to get that pitch in the strike zone more and more if he's going to be a real leverage guy. And the sweeper has some real nice bite to it when he throws it well, but I definitely have some fear because there's a couple times tonight even where it just hung a little bit. The good part about having McFarland up here is he is working close with Caleb Cotham now rather than like being in Reading. And if there's one guy that I just trust to help get the most out of, you know, the pitchers on this roster, it's certainly him. So maybe getting to work with Cotham more will help. They'll help get McFarland in the strike zone. But you certainly see the premium stuff. You see good stuff, and hopefully he can kind of stick. I was glad, honestly, that he just pitched in a game because I thought they were just going to bring him up for show, and they were going to send him back down before Friday. So at least they pitched him. He did not blow up, so they can keep his trade value if they choose to go that way. But, Yeah, so that's the McFarland's debut. It was nice to see Brian De La Cruz hit a home run. Also noticeable that Marsh sat versus a lefty, and Mattingly kind of hinted that they might be back in on the platoon thing with Marsh. So that opens up the door for Brian De La Cruz. It also opens up another avenue at the trade deadline where they might have platoons at every single one of those outfield positions. And, you know, one of the things that's kind of been kicked around I've seen is the idea of a Braves-like 21 deadline where they just got a bunch of guys and hope they could go on a run. I mean, they might be able to do it, like with some of these outfielders that are out there that shouldn't cost you much. And, like, Brian De La Cruz has an opportunity here to kind of make an impression. I mean, I would love for Marsh to be an everyday guy, but again, he's been really, really struggling against left-handed pitching. So, you know, how much longer can he kind of keep rolling with it? But if you can go Crawford Hill in center field and then, like, Rinconas, I would like to upgrade the Rinconas spot for sure. And then all of a sudden, you know, Marsh and left with another righty bat there. Or even like a Rinconas, Brian De La Cruz in right field, and then Sosa and Marsh in left. I think there's an opportunity there to get a bat or two. Richie said like bats down his priority list right now. I've seen that floated around of like bat. I think that's crazy. I can't do this offense again. I can't even do the third baseman. So I know he had the home run and he had a hit. I dread going into another postseason with Alec Bohm in the middle of the lineup, but he's probably going to be there. On the other side, we'll get to the wow moment of the game and a look ahead to the weekend. All that's coming up next here on the final out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Pitch number 13 from Eric Lauer to Trey Turner. Down to third, Muncy's stop runs into an out. What are these guys doing?
No clue. They pop up the bunt. They run into an out. They run into a double play last night.
Yes, the Dodgers broadcasters beside themselves watching Phillies baseball the last couple of days. That is Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser on the call. What are these guys doing? It's pretty clean. I'm going to have to cut that and put it on the drop board for tomorrow. That is my wow moment of the game, brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Travel and Tourism. From waterfalls to fairways, mountain resorts to lighthouse tours, find your wow at visitnj.com. Yes, I just, another night, another bad base running mistake by the guys in the last two games, Real Muto and Stott, are, I think, their best base runners. So that's what makes it even more infuriating. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he forgot the outs. I don't think so, because it wasn't like he was rounding the base. I think he just assumed that Max Muncy was going to throw the ball, and he didn't. And this is one of the things I talked about at the Open that Don Mattingly has to clean up. I mean, he's got to figure this stuff out. He's got to end it now, and they got to get back to playing crisp baseball. They're not world beaters. They're not some team that can just out talent you. Like, if the Dodgers can, I don't know, humble themselves enough to be able to do all the little things well and have won back-to-back World Series, then why can't this team? Why can't they do it? Check the ego at the door and do the little things right and give yourself a chance to win a championship and play baseball. The Dodgers play great baseball. They have great players. They play great baseball. And that's the difference in the series. And that's why it's a disheartening series. And that's a series that you don't face Yamamoto, you don't face Snell, you don't face Glasnow, you don't face some of the, like, Sasaki doesn't get it, even though he hasn't been good, but against the Phillies, he's the best pitcher on the planet. You didn't face their studs. You faced Eric Lauer. Robleski's good. Fine. And you faced Emmett Sheehan. Thankfully, you hit around Emmett Sheehan, but it was the day after a doubleheader in New York. There were down bullpen guys, and he was still out there in the sixth, even though he should not have been. Eric Lauer, that's who's shutting us down. That's what is haunting about this heading into October, is that, I mean, Robleski, who made the All-Star team, might be the bullpen. Like, that's where we're at. So, all right, a cathartic final out tonight. It's supposed to be Will Warren versus Jesus Luzardo on Friday. Will Warren did throw tonight for the Yankees. It was only like an inning, so maybe it's a bullpen for him to make sure that he's fresh for that game on Friday, but Will Warren versus Lizardo. Will Warren has really solid stuff, so they will have their work cut out for them. But Lizardo's obviously been on a run. 11-1 with a – or not, he's not 11-1. The team is 11-1 in his last 12 starts, with, and he has a 2.01 ERA during that time. So he's good at home his last time out. He needs to continue doing that, obviously. Well, that's going to do it for me. Luke Nichols produced the final out tonight. Bros is coming up next. I'm sure this is going to be calm. He'll take you through the rest of the night here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.